In the name of Jesus, Son of God and Son of Mary. Amen. Conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Many years ago, I was in the United States on university business. Driving from one college town to another, I switched on the car radio, hoping to find a country music station. Instead, I came across a Christian station. A talk on the marriage at Cana in Galilee was just beginning. The speaker said that he'd had a question sent in by a listener. Why wasn't Joseph there? He offered two possible answers. First, that he was already dead, and secondly, that he had a rush job on in the carpenter's shop. Who knows? What I do know is that we owe a debt of great gratitude to this honourable man who did not desert Mary in her hour of need. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. It was, if I may adapt words from a classic title of country music, a case of stand by your woman. Our gospel reading today tells of Joseph's initial response to the news of Mary's pregnancy. Matthew chapter 2 tells of the most dramatic incident of his life. Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Joseph's immediate response by night meant that he was the savior of the savior of the world. That may seem a fanciful thing to say, but it is true. Because the key monosyllable in the middle of our quotation from the Apostles' Creed, born, points us to a vital truth about Jesus Christ. One can only pause in wonder anew at the astonishing fact that God came into this world in person and that he did so as you and I came into the world as a baby. God emerged from the womb of the fiancée of a village carpenter, and he was as helpless and reliant on others as any baby born this happy morning in the RLI or Furnace General. Born of the Virgin Mary, there are no words that are adequate to discharge our debt of gratitude to the lady whose obedience to God made possible the birth of our Saviour and who nurtured him. In his childhood, I once read something that illuminates the horror of the Holocaust and the shame that Christian Europe should feel by saying that the prayers that mothers and children whispered in Hitler's death camps were the prayers that Jesus had learnt at Mary's knee. Mary endured the pains of childbirth. Mary supported him in his ministry. And Mary suffered the indescribable torment of watching her son die at Calvary. Mary was present with the apostles and his other followers on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit lit the flame of faith that shines to this day. Mary's response to Gabriel had been, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Her instruction to the servants at the marriage in Cana was, "Whatever he saith unto you, do it." May we seek to follow her example of obedience. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. We need to recognize the implications of born. The Athanasian Creed declares that Christ was of a reasonable, i.e. rational, soul and human flesh subsisting. We may find it difficult sometimes to acknowledge that he subsisted of human flesh. Let us remind ourselves that the New Testament is not a screenplay, that Galilee, Judea, and Samaria did not provide locations for a movie called Pontius Pilate's Life of Jesus. Jesus was human, tempted in all points like as we are, as the Epistle to the Hebrews expresses it. It was not the case that apart from those 6 weeks in the wilderness, he wore an invisibility cloak such that the devil couldn't find him. He may have been tempted to take it easy at work if there wasn't a rush job on in the carpenter's shop. Or when work was done, to order the first century equivalent of a second glass of the house red, to say nothing of other temptations of the flesh to which young men are sometimes prey. Let me pose two interlinked questions. What were the resources which enabled Jesus to get through the day and to resist temptation? And which of those resources are not available to us? Jesus knew that he was called by God, that he was loved by God, that he was empowered by God. He knew the scriptures, and he had the fellowship of those who shared his mission. All those things are true of us also. We have become Christ's disciples. We know that God loves us. We know that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We have scripture ready to hand, and we enjoy the company of our fellow believers around this table here and around those tables at the back. As we seek to follow Mary's example of obedience, let us seek to follow Christ's rule of life. Conceived by the Holy Ghost. He to whom Mary gave life, he whose life Joseph had protected, he was born because it was the purpose of God that there should be a man who would represent him on earth, who would be himself God in human form, who would teach people to regard God as their father, who would preach forgiveness of sins, who would face the worst that his fellow humans might do to him, who would prove by his death that there were no limits to God's love for the world, who would prove by his rising again that the power of sin and death had been broken irreparably, who in the person of the Holy Spirit would abide with and would empower his people forever. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. To any who would question whether there is a God, or if there is, whether he really cares for us, let us be bold to say yes twice over. I know that God exists because he has lived among us, because his timeless purposes of love accepted the limitations of time and place. Divinity and humanity walked in step along the lanes of Galilee and the streets of Jerusalem, and one day they carried a cross to a place called Golgotha. I have confidence that this is true because the man who did this was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. Amen.